Welcome to the Soul Science Nutrition Podcast, where you'll discover that when it comes to your health, you're so much more powerful than you've been led to believe. And now, your host. She's a holistic nutrition and lifestyle coach, chef, author, and yogi, Christine Okazie.
Hello, and welcome to the Soul Science Nutrition Podcast. I'm Christine Okazie. Thanks so much for listening. So many of us are brought up in the paradigm of work hard, grind, hustle, sacrifice time, health, and family, because one day it will all be worth it. But what if there's actually another more empowering way to chart a path to the life of your dreams? Well, today's guest is Dr. Vic Manzo, a family wellness chiropractor, neuroscience, mindful trainer, inspirational speaker, and influential writer. He is the author of three amazing books in the human potential field, and we're here to discuss his latest one, Decoding the Matrix, a groundbreaking but real-world spiritual growth book that anyone can use to empower themselves to overcome self-imposed limitations and start living life to their fullest. On this episode, we spoke about how Dr. Vic stepped out of that all-too-common cycle of stress and burnout and transformed every aspect of his life, from relationships to health into money. He did all of this by understanding the power of his mindset, one's subconscious limiting beliefs, universal laws, by stepping into the quantum world and utilizing neuroscience. Dr. Vic's passion and expertise is guiding people to create and live a soul-filled life. To learn more about his services and get his books, visit his website, empoweryourreality.com. You should also check out his podcast, The Mindful Experiment Podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcasts. I can't wait for you to listen in on this inspirational conversation. And if you do like it, I'd be grateful if you'd visit Apple Podcasts, leave a rating and review, share the episode with anyone you think may be interested and benefit. And if you haven't already hit the subscribe button, please do so. It helps me keep my podcast growing. Thanks so much for being here, everyone, and enjoy the episode. Hey, Dr. Vic, welcome to the podcast. It's great to meet you.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to dive into your journey and the body of work that you have been creating in this amazing field. But I'd love for just some context, if you could take us back to that version of yourself that had not yet discovered the power of mindset.
Yeah, that was, I was always fascinated about the mind. Yeah. I guess my dad would always talk about things. And so I was always curious, but, it was in, you know, late teens, early 20s is when I'm just, you know, always anxious. I was like an ADHD kid. I was undiagnosed. So it was one of those things where I'm just all over the place and anxiousness and whatnot. And, you know, my dad'd be like, mind never matter. You know, it's, you let your mind control your body. And I was like, oh, what's this guy talking about? He'll never explain things. He'll just say something like that. And I was always intrigued by it, but it wasn't, you know, and so you're reactive. You don't know why you get triggered by things. I mean, there's all this stuff that was going on. And I was like, man, why is it like that? Someone says something, it's just like, you know, and I'm like, I don't want to be that way. I want to be able to control me. And I've always read things like, don't let anyone disturb your peace. I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. But what does that mean? And that's what started to open the door to mindset in a way, because when I got into chiropractic school, I mean, chiropractors were brain doctors. I mean, it's kind of, there's a lot of misunderstanding to what really chiropractic, I mean, I never experienced more misunderstanding to what we do, not just from the public's eye, even from in our own profession. But we're brain doctors at the end of the day. And we look at, you know, how the mind, the brain controls every single function of the body, how it organizes things and so forth. And I was like, okay, that's cool. That's interesting. But how can I dive deeper? And that's where, when I started to learn about success principles or learning from successful people, there was always something about mind, the mind, how they utilized their mind, how they saw things. And I was like, all right, this is great. I hear all these cool things, but I want to go deeper into that. And that was when I started to get the curiosity delve me deep into understanding, like, okay, how does the mind work with psychology and stuff? How do we get conditioned in certain ways? I found out at 24, like between age 0 and 7, that's it. This is your life. It gets dictated. An event or something happens and it dictates your whole life. I'm like, but why does it have to be like that permanently? Why can't we change that? And it just took me down this rabbit hole. Then when I got into quantum physics, that opened up a whole door for me where I was like, wow, there's a lot here to learn. There is so much, like, you know, the studies on consciousness and all these other things they've done. I'm like, how do they, and the cool thing is like, they, even the scientists will be just like, this is just what it is. We don't, you know, the why part, that's not what our job is. It's just understanding how that works. And I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting. And then it just, you know, kept going and kept, you know, as I kept learning more and more, I started to realize that from all the stuff I study that, you know, everything starts and ends in the mind. And the mind is like a lens in how we see the world, and that lens can be changed. And some of it could just be a switch and that's it. Some of it has to be, you know, you have to slowly rewire that brain. And through chiropractic and understanding, you know, elements of what I did there, and then going into, you know, being a certified pediatric chiropractor, and really my main focus was neural development. So that part, that also was feeding me the mindset side when I was going through that process and going deeper. And so that's kind of been my journey and the mindset aspect world that led me to where I'm at today.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I can really relate to a lot of that, that path and those going down the rabbit hole, as you said. You know, we start out thinking about, you know, what is sort of ruling everything that goes on, right? You know, why does stuff happen? Why does stuff keep happening? And I like the way that you started, you know, you go into psychology, then you go into neurology, and ultimately there's quantum science and neuroscience, right? So I can totally relate to that. But ultimately what it led it to, similar to a lot of folks who start asking those big important questions about what's this really all about, is it put you on the spiritual path. And you became officially, as I like to say, a seeker. Again, just a natural evolution of your evolution, right? But what I'd love to know is, you know, what life experiences, you know, plural, individual, sort of catalyze your journey into asking those big questions. Like, some people change through loss and life-altering tragedy and stress. Other people change more intentionally, right? So for you, I think you probably mixed your both. It's the way it works for all of us. But what specifically sort of catalyzed your journey here into embodying all this knowledge and experience?
So there was two, I mean, there's been multiple events, but there's been two big ones in my life. And one was at 19 years old. I was raised Italian Roman Catholic. And so we were told, this is what you do. Anything outside of this is devil's work. So like energy healing or, you know, all that stuff. And the strict rules that came from that. And it was 19. I went away to Arizona State, and that opened the door to, like, I had friends that were Christians, and like, come on to our Christian church. And I was like, all right, I don't know any Catholic churches around here. I can't drive. So I mean, I don't have a car, so I'll walk with you guys there. And it was a different experience. And I was like, wow, this is totally different than what I've experienced before. Hmm. And what that did, and I appreciate it, I did that. I remember we would walk to the other side of the campus, which was like a good 15, 20 minute walk. And there were two girls, it's a big campus. So I was like, they're like, we need a guy anyhow, a big guy to walk us anyhow. I was like, hey, I got you. We'll go and it works out for us. Hmm. But what happened was, is that journey then made me so curious, because I'm like, well, that's just Christianity. What about Hinduism and Buddhism and all these other ones?
Right.
And that opened up my door to see a whole different world, because I was always seeking for truth. I've always been a truth seeker. I always wanted to go deeper as much as I could.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I hit my limits in Catholicism, where they wouldn't let me go. I wouldn't say they wouldn't let me. I don't remember if there wasn't just answers, but I remember when if I questioned, it was like, don't question, you know, these kind of things. And it's like, I'm not questioning it from the means of being negative or anything. I'm just curious. Well, you got to be careful with your curiosity. And I was like, okay, forget this. That was one thing. Cause then I started though, when I got into Hinduism and studying that, and Buddhism and Taoism and all these other things, I was like, oh my God, this is more, it just opened up my world to understanding things from a different perspective of how there's so many ways. And then there's cross similarities, and, you know, one scripture's here and a parable here, and it's very similar in this parable and whatever it may be, but it had me understand that there's not one way to life. That's what I needed, because I was so bothered by, like, well, I have to be this way, and that's the only way. And with the guilt and everything else that came with it. But the other big event, and this was probably a little bit bigger, because this is really what propelled me in so many ways. And it wasn't in the moment, I'll tell you that, but it was afterwards. When I looked back, I was blown away by this. Was about a year and a half, 2 years into my business as a chiropractor, my business was doing good. Financially, I was growing. The problem I had is my personal debt from student loans. At the time, this is right after I graduated in 2009 in September. And so as I was trying to start a business, they were not nice at all with anything. Even business loans I couldn't get. And it was weird, because before October 2008. What they used to do is if you were a doctor, you just throw a business plan out, you got what you needed. That didn't work anymore. So what happened was the student loans were being really strict. And I financially, I put all my stuff on credit cards. I'm like, I'm going to be there. I'm ambitious. It's going to happen. I know it is. And the growth was happening, just not at the pace I wanted it to, or I needed it to. And so I took a risk. Didn't work out. That's fine. But I got to a point where I was like, either I let go of my business and I go work for somebody and I'll pay off my debt, or I go bankrupt and get rid of all that. And then it saves my business. And then it allows me to really flourish the way I need to. And it gives me some breathing room. And so I end up doing the other part. And when I look back at everything though, I realized how I created it all. When I talk a lot about the law of focus and what you focus on is what creates your reality, you know, what I realized is I was creating. I mean, I had more downfalls coming at me financially. And I was shocked. Some of them were shocking. I couldn't believe it happened. And what I realized is that I was like, my focus was so on debt and the less scarcity I had, and I wasn't focusing on abundance. And so what happens with the mind in reality is when you keep focusing on something that's a value to you, the mind has to show that to you, and then you're going to start attracting more of it. So all I kept seeing was more scarcity, more scarcity, more scarcity. It also told me the power of my emotions and understanding how where my concentration and my vibe is every single day and my intention is every single day. Mm-hmm. And once I went through all that and I became aware of my limiting beliefs and what they came to money and so forth, once I started to do that work, it was amazing how financially things like drastically changed. After I had worked through my limiting beliefs for a whole entire year, and at least at that time, I was really heavy into them from a financial standpoint. The next 2 years, I mean, I remember in 2 years, I tripled my business and I had 5.5x growth in profits from doing nothing except limiting beliefs. I mean, yes, I opened up a new space and I went into a more visible storefront area. That may have helped a little, but we don't get many walk-ins anyhow. But it was really just that element of breaking that barrier allowed me to really excel. And that's when I was like, interesting. Here's something I just did and worked through this and look how the mind and all the other stuff I've done led me to go down this path to create that reality, what I had.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah. Okay. So let's dive into your latest book. You mentioned a few of those universal laws, how to, you know, rewire and, you know, those subconscious beliefs. So Decoding the Matrix, let's jump into what was the inspiration to write as your third book in this space. And what is the Matrix?
Yeah. You know, the book started coming to me. I always tell people my books always come to me. It's some of the teachings I do. One of the laws called the law of inspired action, right? Just usually the way it shows up for me is I think about something, I can't ignore it. And then I get anxious. I don't get anxious anymore like I used to when I was younger. So when it does show up, I'm like, okay, you're pressing a little bit here. So whoever that is. And I'm just like, all right, I guess this is the time to do this. And when I started to think about the book, I was going with the title first. I'm like, okay, if I'm going to write a book, what am I going to talk about? And what was coming to me was like conditioning in the minds and seeing people like in prisons and not knowing it. And I was like, okay, this is something up my alley. I've talked a little bit about this in my first book, but very briefly, but this I wanted to take to a whole new level. And then I was like, okay, I'm getting the visions. I'm feeling it. And I'm like, all right, then all of a sudden everything started to come when I was getting ready to write, like, this is why people need to know this. This is what they're walking every day in their life like this, not knowing how conditioned they are. They don't understand what the matrix really is and how it can hold us and keep us in this, what I call mental prison, or I even call it modern slavery, because we have to understand that the matrix, you know, it's just another term for human collective consciousness. And, you know, for those who may not know consciousness, you know, what that is, it's just averaging out the consciousness levels of every single human being, or averaging out all the things that they think about and their emotional responses, the two of those things that would, that you average it out. That's humanity in its essence. And that's the matrix. That is, it sets the tone, it sets the stage for what all of us go through as a totality. But what also the matrix does is it conditions and frames our mindset, because when we're developing, what was the matrix at that time? What was the, you know, there's the main matrix, but there's sub matrices too that make it all up. And what, you know, that's continents, countries, states, towns, cities, and it comes down to the individual. So what is all those programs or the matrix sub matrices that exist that are imprinting on our mind? And then that's also making us think this is what life is, because after the age of 7, that's our brain thinks this is life. And so this is why a lot of the issues we deal with as adults, if you go majority, if not all of them, are between the ages 0 and 7. Mm. And what ends up happening then is that when we have this conditioning, we think that we're trying to do something, we're trying to excel at some level, and we keep hitting a wall. And we go, ah, maybe it's just this is what it is for me. And what they don't realize is that you're not understanding how the matrix is playing a role. Because what happens, and I used to say this as a kid, and I don't ask me why I did, it just sounded cool. I was like, yeah, if you don't set the plan for your day, the world's going to plan it for you. You say that all the time. Never understood why. I was like 12, 13 years old. Heck, it just sounded cool. Like I said, now I look back and go, that was pretty smart. I can't take credit for it because I have no idea where it came from. But the key factor is that the matrix, one of the designs, and we know this, we've heard this. I mean, if you follow anything with business and self-help, personal development, they all tell you law of association, the five closest people to you, you average them out, that's you, or the five incomes, closest incomes, you average out, that's your income, right? Mm-hmm. So law of association. Well, law of association also works with the matrix in the essence that it will always, always, always pull you back to wherever the matrix is unless you set the intention, right? Okay. And that's your energy, that's your consciousness level. What is that? That's your thoughts, emotions, and where you're focusing on. Where's your vibe every single day? That's how we break out of the matrix. That's how we understand how to then not let it influence us. And it is possible. Some people, when I say this, go, I don't know how true that is. Well, pandemic happened and 56% of net worth of the billionaires grew. That's how much they grew. 56% was over $600 million, billion dollars.
Crazy.
Or another example is if you look at in the history of the United States, the time that the most millionaires were created were during the Great Depression.
Exactly.
Right. And that's living outside the matrix, right? There's a sub matrix of the United States. This is what the conditioning is, right? We're in a state right now during this recording where, everyone's talking about the gloom and doom, recession, and all these other things.
Yep.
And I always tell people, focus, same thing here. That's a matrix in itself, trying to influence people, because we are actually, at the end of the day, the whole point of the matrix in the book is to show how powerful we really are as an individual.
Yes.
And how our play is in the big game called life with the macro of the matrix in itself. Mm. And what you focus on is what you're going to give to. So the influencers, the powers of be that have more, when I say powers of be, I'm not getting conspiracy theorists like or anything like that. All I'm saying is the way the matrix works is the more people view something and they grab their attention, the more they can influence what the matrix is, and then they can control behaviors. And then all of a sudden that's influence. Then it turns into power. And then it just constantly, that's a cycle that continues to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get more people to focus on something or some whatever, then that expands and that becomes a reality.
Sure.
And now all of a sudden, now majority of the people are going to go through that unless we step out of it. It's just like COVID. I used COVID as an example because it was a great example. Like people can go, oh, COVID is this and it's that. People get it. This is what they go through and so forth. Yeah, that's one aspect of it. But there was people that didn't have that experience or was exposed to it and never had any issues whatsoever. There's different aspects. Some people say it's luckiness or this or that. I think it's just living differently than what the, I can go down a rabbit hole with that, but
that's beautiful. Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. But that, at the end of the day, that's kind of how, that's the basis of the basics of the matrix.
Thank you. Okay. So breaking out of the matrix, having a more empowering, intentional experience of our reality, how do we do it?
So in the book, I talk about, I do this with all my clients that I work with from a business, coaching. And that is, you start with a vision. The vision is the most powerful thing that you can do for yourself. It is one of the most underplayed things that have ever been done. I went through business school as an undergrad and we talked about vision statement, but it was more the mission statement that was more important, right? And in life, you hear about vision and some people call it a dream and stuff, but we don't really have, what's a vision of your life, right? And when I work with my clients, I always tell them the number one thing that I focus on is, what's the main purpose why you're here? What's the main vision of why you exist?
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how when we don't think about that too often, or sometimes like, I don't even know how to figure that out. Well, you don't figure it out. It's a feeling. And we develop that.
Okay. Now you just mentioned, go ahead. No, you just mentioned something really important, really distinctive. Right. When it comes to this type of deep change work and rewiring deeply grooved paradigms, right, it's not in the intellect. And it's also, and you spell this out beautifully in your book, it's not in the doership, as I, my turn, the doingness, right? It's in the non-physical, Hence, it's in the emotional, mental, energetic space. Okay. So you work with business clients. How do you ground this for them? Because, you know, woo-woo guru sometimes doesn't fly for CEOs, right?
No, it doesn't. And it's funny how, you know, I've been more into this now full time this year. And it's interesting how much kickback I get. I think I'm selling like snake oil, especially when I say have success effortlessly. That effortless term, yes. It's amazing how much it bites me. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to still say it, you know. And of course, from a business, if I had like a, you know, I have coaches, but like one, if I had someone be like, don't use that term because it repels people. I'd be like, no, but that's what I do. Like that's the essence of what I do. I can't use a different term. I don't know any others. But no, but the thing is, reason why is how to ground them. I use science, and that's the thing. And that comes back from my going in my chiropractic days, because I was studying energy healing at that time, and also outside of school. Mm-hmm. And that opened up the door, like to the quantum physics, to the neuroscience. So when someone's like for an example, when I was doing energy healing, because I was used to be a Reiki master and trainer, I studied 12 different modalities, but all these other things. Mm-hmm. But when I talked about, like, let's say auras, right. And they'd be like, that's that woo woo stuff. And I'd be like, well, you can call it woo-woo, but here's the thing. In the science world, they call it a biophotonic field. So whether you don't like aura, well, then choose a different term. I really don't care. But the science has shown that there is actually a field called a biophotonic field, which in spirituality, they call that an aura. So I'm like, it's just like saying English and Spanish. Whose words are right doesn't matter. Right. It's just whatever language you choose to use.
Terminology.
Exactly, right? So when it comes to like, the reason why I like vision, I talk about this in my coaching program that I do. And I always tell people, like, the vision is the most powerful thing. It is one of the most deepest things in all spirituality that's ever been shared. What you can see in your mind is what you're going to create in your reality. And it's and then some people go, well, I'll go in the biblical terms. In the Bible, it states in Proverbs 29, verse 18, that the people without a vision will perish. And there's another one, Habakkuk 2:2. I forget what it is, but like it talks about writing down your vision and making sure it's clear on the tablets and so forth. And it'll come in a time of tarry, which means it'll come within time. And so there it is in scripture. But then I'm like, well, we don't have to go that route. Here's the thing. The mind can't tell. Here's neuroscience. The mind can't tell the difference what you put in there and to what you see in your eyes. So why don't we use that power? Let's use that. Because when we can visualize, now, all of a sudden, you're stepping into a whole different field that we're just barely understanding. Mm. To where me being a doctor, I'm a chiropractor. We study the body more than anyone else out there. And there's one thing that I can tell you, that if you want to build muscle, you based on normal muscle physiology and everything that I've studied about muscles and what I know about them, how to give them nutrition, all that stuff, you have to work the muscle to make it bigger and stronger and leaner, right? Mm-hmm. But they have done studies. Mm. You can use the power of visualization and you can get somewhat close to the same results. And they've done new studies where they actually got better results visualizing than doing the work. That's the power of the mind and what it does. So the mind can't tell the difference. And so why not use that? And this is why I love why I'm so big on vision and so much more. So that is neuroscience there. I get into things about with quantum physics. I talk about the double slit experiment and how, for those who may not know what that is, they were just trying to understand light in the essence. Is it in a wave or is it in a particle? And particles in the physical form, wave is non-physical. And okay. So they need like special sensors to pick it up to see it.
Yeah.
And when the scientists and the researchers were looking to see what it was, it would go to a particle. And then when they look away, it'd go back to the wave format. And wow. So when they did this, they thought, we did something wrong. So we messed it up. So let's change the experiment. This is what I love about this study. They changed the experiment to know. They're like, we know for a fact, this is how light's going to have to act now. It has, we got rid of the error. They go and do it, same results. And they sit there and they go, okay, we have no idea why this is happening. But this is what I love about quantum physics. And physicists, you know, scientists, they're like, no, it's this or that. And in the quantum physicists, they understand, like, we're just trying to understand the spookiness. Like we don't need to figure it all out. We just need to, so they've done this with electrons and looking at the spins of the electrons and seeing if is it this or that. And when they looked at one way, it was that way. And they looked at the other way, it was that way. It was the same thing. But again, what that meant was, is how you see your life, your world, the projection where you're putting out there is what will be created for you. Powerful. Right? It's what you can create. And so it's really returning back to the power to the individuals and to understand that. And that's what your potential is, right? We talk about potential a lot, especially in chiropractic. We're always like, optimize your potential. Yeah. And I always say, well, in the book, I talk about, you have to define your potential. What is it? And then how do you tap into it? And here's the simple answer. What you see in your mind is what you can create. That's it.
Brilliant.
That's what the possibility is for you. If you can't see something in your mind, you're not going to be able to create it. And this is another reason why I use vision so much in my work, because we have to have that crystal clarity. Go ahead.
Now, how do you get that crystal clarity, right? Because we're going 100 miles an hour. Many pulls to externally fixate on things, right? So again, you know, trying to help people experience the relationship between vision, mindset, taking action, right? What's the first step to making sure we can, I always say, put the mind in the right setting, you know?
What is it, you know, so like for visualization or creating that vision and so forth, it comes to the point of, a lot of times when I work with people, they're like, I just can't visualize. I can't. And I'm like, you can, you're just stuck in stress. Your brain has been conditioned. You're nervous. And again, this is where I get my chiropractic background, because understanding neurology and what I do as a chiropractor, it's like when you're stuck in those states of stress and your nervous system stuck there, it's very hard to go into a state of creativity. So yes. Then what you can do is watch a movie. If you like something in the movie, write it down. That's a great visual, right? Because you're seeing it. You're seeing it in motions. If you see a movie and you like the character and you wish you could have a life like that, there you go. That's a visualization that you can use for now. Okay. I don't like my clients taking that to 100% verbatim,
sure,
or what they're seeing, but I'll tell them it's just use that for now. And then when it comes to the point where you're starting to feel a little more creative and you're getting a little excited, now you put your own touch on it. What does that mean for you? Mm-hmm. Because we as individuals, we create our reality. I mean, I have a quote I used to say all often. I wrote it in the book and I say it very often. There's no rules to life except the ones you create.
Yes.
And the reason behind that is literally you can, you know, like what's success? What's success? Well, success is different for everybody. Yeah. You define success and that's your reality to it. What's a millionaire? Well, what's a millionaire to you? Right. Cause here comes the conditioning of the matrix. When we think of somebody rich, what do we think of? Oh, they have a nice house, nice car, this, that, nice clothes, all that stuff. Right. And that's just the conditioning of the world, you know? And I'm like, but what's a millionaire mean to you? What is that essence of what that looks like for you? Because the more we can be authentic with ourselves and what matters most to us for our world, expressing our own piece of the pie of what being human is, and we express that and what it means for us, that helps with all the things you hear about with law of attraction, law of manifestation, all these different things. Because now what we're doing is we're starting to share what's really truly important to us and how we want to experience that. And when you come from that kind of a vibe, from that kind of a place, then all of a sudden it is a huge, the signal you sent out to create more is a lot more powerful. But that's just one of the things you can look through magazines, like people who tell you to do when it comes to creating a vision board. Again, these are great things to start with, but you always want to make sure that you eventually put your own touch on it and what really matters most. Why do you like certain things? And really breaking down the why part. I talk about this, I think, in the book too, where you got to keep asking why, like a 4-year-old, until you get to that point.
Yeah.
So like, why this? Why that? Why do you like it that way? Why do you like the big house? Well, because of this. Well, why do you like the big? Because it has to come down to, I just like it because I do. Like, there's just, I don't have anything else. You're not going to start that way. So anyone trying to cheat this, you can't. Because no one, if I ask why you like chocolate or vanilla, you're going to say, well, I like vanilla. Well, why do you like vanilla? Because I just don't really like chocolate that much. And vanilla just tastes better. Okay. Well, you're giving a reason why, and then I go through this whole thing on power, but that's a whole nother story.
It's brilliant. You know, so, you know, to your point, it's important to understand that, you know, there's a lot of discussion, a lot of information out there on manifestation. And I think sometimes, ironically enough, it can be another version of trying to manipulate our reality, you know, because there's some steps, as you go through very detailed in your book, there's some steps that we just can't pass. And that is a lot of clearing, a lot of the emotional deep dive, you know, what are our limiting beliefs? Once we get to them, we confront them and we say, oh, I don't think I want to have that belief anymore, because that's what's underneath, you know, whatever it is, the self-sabotage, the repeating pattern in my life that I don't like, right? So manifestation, creating, tapping into our human potential is, I think, the stuff that gets very shiny and a lot of commercialization. But then there's this other, I think, more substantive foundation, which you go into in the latter part of your book, around source energy, which really is surrender and trust, big spiritual principles. So I'd love for you to, you know, in your own words, What have you found to be the right recipe, if you will, for surrender, trust, and taking empowered action?
So it's real simple. We just forgot as adults how to do this. And I talk a lot about this more recently now. I started talking about this after the book, and I'm like, I'm not going to go put this. I don't think I put this in the book. And I was like, and that is go back to being a 3-4-year-old. Because 3-4-year-old is really the master of the universe. They know, we as 3-4-year-olds, we know how to be. How do I know that? Well, let's look at it from a brain perspective. Neurodevelop wise, they are not, logic brain's not there yet. So it's starting, it's developing, but it's not at the point of making right or wrongs and seeing what this and that is. What is at a peak at that point is imagination, right? And imagination is everything. Love billionaires that. Do this. Billionaires practice imagination often. Quite often. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very powerful tool. The second thing that 3-4-year-olds do that are so fascinating is that if you ever watch and be around them, they choose what they want to do that excites them. And that's it. And they don't care what other people think.
Yeah.
And they get immersed into the experience, right? That's the secret sauce to manifestation. That's the secret sauce to living to your life of what your truest element is. That's everything. It, you know, when it comes to manifestation, there's so many people that have so many, you know, you can't manifest from a 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of a thing. You can to a certain degree, but because the formula really is, if there was a formula, it's just raise your vibration and enjoy what you do for truly. Like, I mean, it's just raise your vibe. Vision's important. You know, having a goal is important, but you have to let that go. Like I tell my clients, once they do all this vision work, and sometimes it takes them like a month to get it all done, then I'm like, okay, put that in the back burner. I don't want you to think about it anymore. And they're
wow.
They're like, what do you mean? You made me go through all this work.
Right.
And now you're telling me forget it. And I'm like, yeah, because that's not going to create it for you. Because the more you think about it, you create an attachment. The more you create an attachment, you're creating resistance. The more resistance, you're not going to get there. So I'm like, you have to let it go. And now you've just tell the universe, thank you, God, whatever that is. Here we go. This is what I want. I put my order in. I'll wait till the time comes. I know what I need to focus on, which is your vibe. Which is, what do you enjoy to do that creates fulfillment every single day? That's what a kid does. 3-4-year-old does that all day long. I mean, absolutely. I have a new daughter who's only 4 months old, and I've been soaking up every ounce that I can with her joy and bliss, and how she'll just look and do a little smirk, and then she just lights up. And I know what I mean. I can feel her energy, and I'm just like, man. I go, she's teaching me just to like light up even more about life.
I tell
my wife all the time. I go, I'm enjoying every moment. I'm in the present, but this is not going to sound like I am. I'm like, when she's 3-4 years old, I cannot wait to go into her world. I'm going to do all that I can, whatever she wants me to do, whatever. Because I mean, again, I was a pediatric chiropractor, so I worked with a lot of kids. Mm. It fascinated me how their mind worked, because they'll be like, I mean, the tools I use and what they would call them. And, you know, and they'd be like, I remember one kid who was like, Dr. Vic, my brain not working well. I need adjustment, and it'll make my gear in my brain work better. I'm like, where do they learn gear? And they all had different explanations to it. And it was just so fascinating of their, but they get it, what I did. But it was just fascinating. And that's the key element to really mastering your life. We knew how to do that.
Yeah.
It's just the conditioning of what I say this, and I know this sounds harsh, and I'm working on my own language of this, but it's like we come in pure, but then the world and our environment tarnishes us, right? And the thing is, and then we have to learn to get the mud off us to really remember the light of who we are. Beautiful. And it's just the way the system is, that we wouldn't come here otherwise, to be human if it wasn't like that. So I don't bash it. Everything happens the way it's supposed to.
Okay.
But it's one of the things, going back to those elements of just embracing what really fulfills you, what excites you, what, you know, that you do. Yeah. Some people say, well, as adults, you have to do things you don't enjoy. Well, but there's ways we can play some mindset tricks on that, or play some mind, you know, shift things around a little bit, change that perspective to where we can level it. Cause there are things I don't like to do that I have to do,
right?
But I tie it to a higher value that I enjoy, love doing. Mm. And I'm like, well, this allows me to do more of that. So, I'll knock this out then, so that I can do more of that. Does that kind of make sense?
100%. The meaning that we make of things, you go into this in your book, right, is so important, right? Because we tell stories about everything that's happening, and why not make it a good one, I always say.
That's the thing. You have the power that, again, it comes back to you. Like I would say, life has no meaning except what you put to it. And when you really understand that statement, you know, nothing has meaning. You're the person who gives meaning to it, and you can choose a positive charge or a negative. And, you know, there's neuroscience that proves that. There's quantum physics that we already talked about some of the stuff that does that already. And so it's those elements of what matters, what means to you, what matters to you, how you want to define things. You know, vocabulary, how we explain our vocabulary. Like some people, when I was growing up, I again, maybe I had a natural inclination to this, but I would say words and I'm like, don't be saying that. That's not a word. And I'm like, but the energy of what the energy you're coming off, but how you're saying that is not the energy I'm coming off and where I'm saying. Mm. And so like a term, I remember one time I was talking with someone, they're like, yeah, the word lazy gets a negative connotation, but to me, lazy is this. And I said, I love that. You define lazy in a different term. Yeah. You chose what that's going to mean for you in your world. Yeah. You know, me, I wouldn't choose that word, but you choose that. But you have the energy from it. Wasn't like being lazy, unmotivated, you know, what we kind of think of what that is. Yeah. She's like, I'm just going to be lazy and lazy around to recharge and re-energize and do this. That's what lazy means to me. And I'm like, I love that. You reprogrammed your world to what that should mean for you.
Yeah. In an empowering way, right? That aligns. Beautiful. So, you know, we're living, as you've mentioned a few times, in very interesting times. What's your sort of non-negotiable in when it comes to your emotional, mental, energetic, physical self-care?
Non-negotiables. I love these. I have a lot of these. let's see. I mean, one of the things is like when it comes to my, I always have to take care of my mind first. You know, in every element of what I do. So every morning I meditate, I'll do some breath work and meditate. It's something that has to be done. There's no questions asked. The second thing is I have to challenge my body in some way, shape or form. So that means working out, or on my days off, I'll do active recovery where I'll go for a walk or two to just get my body moving. Cause your brain likes movement. Okay. You know, those are just a couple there. My daily, trying to think what else is there. I have a lot of practices of what I do, but those are some of the main ones. Gratitude's another big one that I have to do. Yeah. There's no questions asked. And the reason why is I'm trying to master, like I remember I heard Steve Harvey one time talk about this, and he was saying how, and with a gratitude, like, you know, I could write 200, 300 things down of what I'm grateful for. Mm. And I looked, I'm like, well, he's at a higher level. I could see that, but I'm like, okay, but I'm going to take it as it is. And it was always fascinating how it's a challenge to get past 80. 75, 80. I thought I'd get good at 92 one time. And I'm just like, wow, I really have to get better at my gratitude practice. I thought I had this rock solid. But those are just a few to name of what I do and so forth. But the biggest thing is always setting the tone of my energy. That's why I meditate and do breath work in the morning, because afterwards, what I'm really doing is just setting my energy and my intention of what I want to create for the day, how I want to raise my vibe up. And then just hold that as best as I possibly can, because I'm human, not going to stay there forever. I have my own normal conscious level I resonate at, and then just work on that process to excel and set my forth for the day.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you. And why is elevating our consciousness so critical in these times?
Especially at these times, it's very, very critical, because I mean, the thing is, everything's vibration, right? And quantum physics shown that everything's energy, and they call it quanta for the people who want to know the scientific term of that. And so when you're elevating your conscious level, you're elevating your energy to have a different experience of what is. You're not going to be pulled down to what, you know, like I said, a lot of people are talking about the gloom and doom coming, and saw someone put a Facebook post and was like, all right, the end is here now or something. You better get ready. You hope you prepare. And I'm like, I'm not going to put my energy into that. Let's erase that. And I'm going to go on to focusing on what I like to create at that moment to see happen. But it's very, very critical, because what we focus on is what's going to expand. And for example, when COVID was starting to happen, I remember an end of mid-February, I told my patients, I'm like, I'm going to share with you the mindset world of what I do. Because I never crossed that barrier. I was like, I'm a chiropractor and I'm going to be your chiropractor. And wonderful. And what I do here. I didn't want to cross over. I did share some mindset stuff, but it was very, very basic. But then I was like, okay, the time has come. I need to share this. And I was like, do not buy into the fear. Just take a deep breath and give it some time. Things are going to all work out. And we'll get more information. I'm like, the reason why I'm saying that is because if we all start buying into fear more, this is going to be way worse than what we want it to be. And that's the power of us focusing on our own energy levels. To do this, that, because if we can keep our consciousness levels higher, what that does, and we've all been around somebody who had a higher consciousness level. You might not be aware of it, but when you left them, you were like, man, I love being around that person. I just feel better. I feel more energetic. Yes. I get all these different things.
Yes.
That's that they're vibing at a different level. It doesn't mean it's better. It's just at a different level. And but what happens is when you do that, the people around you, you create a ripple effect. Again, law of association is playing many in both ways. You, mm-hmm. they're affecting you and you're affecting them. Mm-hmm. But if you set your intention, you can help others to help liberate them to have the opportunity to do the same thing. And if we can all do this together, not be influenced heavily by the matrix or the submatrixes mm-hmm. and so forth, and we stand in our own power, then what we're doing is we're allowing others to do the same. And we can go into this whole shift that's been going on for quite some time. That's really interesting times, but that it's going to be very critical for us to do that. So then we don't get the same experience of whatever that is out there that is having us go down this route, right. Whatever that is, we don't have to go and be dragged in with it.
Beautiful. Very powerful and very important work indeed. And so if I could ask, what is the number one thing you want people from, you know, reading your books to take away?
At the end of the day, you have the power. You are way more powerful than you can ever imagine. We can't even measure it. The key thing is what in all my books is always about it's always about taking the power back to them, to the individual, because mm-hmm. we give it away in so many different ways. And the Matrix book, the Decoding the Matrix, is really just understanding the systems of how it tries to rob us of our power. Right. And Walk in the Dark is all about not allowing the events of our life become a victim of it and understanding how we can get away from suffering altogether.
Yeah.
And how we can take the power back and choose what that experience is going to be for us. What does that really mean? Yeah. And so when we can do those kind of things, we're really starting to step into the essence of really what it is to be as much as we can as the soul essence of who we are. Right. Because as a soul, we get to choose an experience. It happens. This is what it is and so forth. And really we understand that, or we know these things when we come to being human, we forget it a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's one of those things where how do we get back into that power? And if I can just share, and then the purpose of it is just understanding how we're giving our power away. And if we can turn it around and take the power back to us, not only do we realize how we control and help our own life, but then also from the macro level, how we really transcend the world to go to the elements of being whatever the terms are, but it's, you know, the sea, I don't want to say better, but I guess it's the only word I can think of right now. But, you know, better outcomes, right? So you look at like, you know, all the instinct and danger species that are going on, the forces are doing this, all the things about life that we're not supporting. A lot of times we think we have to do. Change the energy, and then that changes the outcome of that and so much more.
100%. And, you know, just to encapsulate, we've talked a lot about the energy of fear. So in contrast, I think what you're talking about is the energy of love.
100%.
When we talk about raising our vibration, and I'm not talking about romantic, fluffy, you know, heart love, right? That's nice. But just to give it, and sometimes words fall short, as, you know, even as a writer, you know, you notice sometimes these words fall short for these really beautiful ideas. But at the end of the day, I think that's what this is really about, you know, is that it is more about stepping into love, letting love lead, letting that be the vibration of our consciousness. And that's how we neutralize the fear, right?
No, 100%. I mean, love is understanding, it's trusting, you know, it's connecting, it's all those things. And it's the essence of who we're made from, and having that, because they, you know, in this world, there's really only two emotions and everything else is just an extension of it. And you're sharing it, love and fear. And it could be light and dark. It could be, you know, those are the opposites. And it's one of those things of tapping back into that, the element of who we really are and really expressing, you know, the essence of just that essence of who we really are, expressing that and onto the world and being able to have that connectiveness with it all and so much more. Yeah. It's a beautiful, and we're moving towards it. It's just interesting times of what's going through the process in it all.
It is. Thank you so much, Dr. Vic. This has been a wonderful conversation, and thank you for the insight and the wisdom you're putting out in the world. It's really beautiful. Thank you.
No, I greatly appreciate that. And thank you for all that you do. And thank you for having me on. I've really enjoyed this conversation.
Awesome. And so I'll put all this in the show notes, but, you know, is there something specifically you want to just let our listeners know about you know, how to work with you, how to learn more about you, how to just be in your vibe.
Yeah. My website's my hub. It's empoweryourreality.com. I work with business owners and startups right now, but if you're interested in looking at a coach, you like what I was talking about, want to see if we fit. I have a qualifying process where I do a free call to connect, learn more about you and see if I'm that individual who can help you. And then I have free resources. I have an ebook on the power of visualization and talking about coming to some of the studies I did. I put two studies in there, but just showing how powerful our mind is, how it rewires our brain, neural pathways, how it can help with muscle memory and stuff like that. Just from doing the visualization. My podcast is on there. And then social media wise, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok. You'll find that at the bottom left corner. Any questions you have, reach out. I love hearing from people.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Vic. Take good care.
Likewise.